Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him."
She showed up on his doorstep. This woman, devout, faithful, and passionate. Her words, barely audible to the passerby. Her posture, clearly beseeching. Her body, racked with sobs, her face awash in tears. Grief? He sat at the entrance, calm, observant, and peaceful. He watched as the travelers, the devout ones, celebrated, feasted, shared their joy in word and song. He may even have smiled just a little bit as he reminisced about the day that he had just lived, a day full of judgment, conversations, and acts of devotion. This woman, the one on Adonai's doorstep, she was different. She was not seeking counsel from him, wise counsel, or judgment. She did not seem intent on an act of devotion or a desire for forgiveness. Certainly, her presence here indicated less celebration, less feasting. No, her unassuming approach to this holy place would have been unremarkable had it not been for the length of time she spent here. Her uncustomary display of, what was it exactly? Was it grief? Depression? What was it that he couldn't quite identify? But she stayed. And she wept. And she seemed to mutter, "What in the world? What was she up to?" No longer was he entranced by the celebration, the sounds of festivity. He focused in on the woman. Now, her face was uplifted. There were tears streaming down her cheeks, and her lips moved quickly, forming words one after the other. Her hands clasped tightly in her folded knees. He edges closer, not so much because he chooses to, but because he is drawn toward her. This is an unusual sight. The closer he gets, the more unusual he realizes this scene really is. It doesn't make any sense. Clearly, she is a married woman. She is here for a purpose. She looks to be a devout woman. She doesn't look the part of a troublemaker. It's not as the kind of person that you would typically see meandering in here by accident. And he edges closer. Her words seemed to tumble out like a tongue twister without any sound. Her hands move, but her face remains in the same posture. If only he can hear, can decipher, can understand. Maybe he edges closer, head tilted, ears straining. Come on now. What is she doing? Is it some sort of ceremony? An incantation? What is she up to? He knows she's up to no good. Of that he is abundantly certain. She should have stirred as he got closer. She should have recognized him, acknowledged his approach. What is it that she is doing? Maybe. Maybe she is conversing with the imaginary. Maybe a figment of her mind entices her to conversation. Or worse yet, oh no, 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 no. This is not happening in a holy place. He rushes towards her, and the words bubble out of him, the words he longs to say that bubble out of his frustration. How long are you going to be here? How long are you going to be here displaying your drunkenness for all the devout to see? Put your wine away. Her answer both surprises and perplexes him. An unexpected moment of levity and brevity. My Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor beer. I have poured out my soul before my Lord. Wow. The judge has misjudged. How quickly a moment of devotion is mistaken for intoxication. How did that transpire? How did he engage in this distraction? Prayer misunderstood as an infraction. He had watched her mouth. How had he not seen that it was full of heartfelt emotion? As if to continue the indictment, she speaks. Please do not consider your maidservant as a heathen, a daughter of the evil one. Out of my overwhelming grief, an abundant complaint of my heart, I have spoken until now. What burdens does this child of the promise bear that keeps her down on her knees for such a long time? What cares could trouble a daughter of Israel this much that she could appear altered in her mind? He struggles to wrap his mind around that which he is clearly a witness to. He strives to reconcile that which he has just witnessed and heard with his own ears and eyes with what he has perceived mere moments before. Judgment has failed him. and compassion takes its place. It overwhelms him as he stands here watching her pleading eyes fill with liquid emotion once more. The words leap out of his chest before his mind can catch up. Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you the petition which you have asked of him. He sits back and smiles. His hands in his lap, his face serene, he has heard every word. Her heart, the one he created, formed, labored over, has cried out to him, and he has listened. When her soul was bitter and in need, her heart parched and starved for understanding and compassion, she turned to him. She lifted the voice of her heart in the only words she knew, O Lord of hosts. He heard, and his heart leaped to reach out and soothe her. As she weeps in anguish, her heart seems to break. He hears her call, look on the affliction of your servant and remember me, as if he could ever forget her. His beloved daughter, his precious chosen child, do not forget your maidservant, but give your servant a male child, and I will give him to the Lord. How he loves to hear his children. Pour out their hearts to him from the core with all your concerns, fear, bitterness. How long he dreams of being part of every moment, every bitterness, all our tears. No prayer is insignificant to him. Nothing is small or boring or mundane. He speaks the language of our hearts, even when the exact verbiage escapes our minds. I will give him to the Lord, she says, all the days of his life, and no razor shall come on his head. He smiles. Not because the promise pleases him, or because he is satisfied in some perverse way, but rather because he can already foresee her joy. He has heard and felt the cry of her heart, the deep soul racking cry from deep within her core. The cry to be part of the promise realized. A cry to be blessed. It is the cry of the creation crying to the Creator. In the form of prayer, with the words of the Holy Spirit, and his priest is there, willing to speak. And so he speaks to her, this creation cut off from her life source. Go in peace. She receives his words. Like parched, cracked ground, soaking in every drop of water. And he smiles. Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. She already has. She moves away from the priest toward her home. Now she can eat and bask in the celebration and festival around her. Her face no longer sad. Her soul soaked up the peace, and her heart waits patiently for the Creator's answer. I recognize that this sermon is not traditional. And so just in case you missed it, I want you to hear it explicitly. One, come to God. In your bitterness, in your anguish, in your joy, in your celebration, come to God, because He alone speaks the language of your heart. Two, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Even if you don't have words, He will give you the Holy Spirit that will cry out the words of your heart. When they won't come out, just pray. Three, people may understand you. Let's face it, they will misunderstand you. Because the foolishness that the world sees is wisdom in God's eyes. Do it anyway. Number four, pour out your heart and soul before your God. Don't keep anything back. There is nothing in your heart that can scare Him. Be fervent in your prayer. If you don't know how to do that, look at Psalm 62. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Number five, go in peace. Experience peace as you lay your heart in front of your Savior and wait for the answer to your prayers. And if you find yourself obsessing about the answers or about the concerns, lay them down again. Because peace is what He has for you. And if I have one word of caution to share, it is this. In the story of Hannah's prayer, it looks like she bargains with God. That God responds to bargains. And I want you to hear very clearly this morning, that is not so. God does not respond to bargains. He responds to you. Because the Creator of our heart responds to our hearts, not our bribes. It is His love for us that answers our prayers. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we are not the same. Our words are not the same, and yet our Creator very definitely is. And so we lift our hearts to You today, praying that You will be who You say You are, who You promise to be, and that You will hear the cry of our hearts and answer in only the way that You can. For every person here and the people we come in contact with. In Your name, amen.